The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, the left dreams of a world without the Second Amendment. We've got to repeal that because we have to do something. But I wonder if any of them have actually stopped to consider what that world actually looks like. Well, it just so happens that we don't need to have a crystal ball. We don't have to have Doc Brown's DeLorean. All we have to do is read. You want a glimpse of a post-Second Amendment progressive utopia, what it would look like? Well, let's look across the Atlantic. If you find somewhere, if you find yourself somewhere in London anytime soon, just flip on the TV. You might see a public service announcement discussing the dangerous rise of teen knife attacks. The government has launched a $1.6 million ad campaign in a Hail Mary and to try to stop 10 to 21-year-olds from stabbing each other to death. Knife attacks apparently are now out of control in England. The murder rate in London is now higher than that of New York City. When describing knife attacks and violent crime, the British officials now are using the words virus and epidemic to describe what they're seeing. Knife attacks. Maybe they should ban all the knives. Or perhaps there is something else happening. The difference between London and New York tell only a small fraction of this story. While the amount of firearms continue to rise in the United States, violent crime in the United States is actually going down. Our overall violent crime rate is down nearly 1%. Rape is down 2%. Robbery down 2%. Aggravated assault, property crime, burglary, theft, and even arson are all down multiple percentage points. Now, the left wants to take firearms away, even though crime and violent crime is on the escalator heading down. Now, let's go across and look at England and Wales. Our cousins over there outlawed guns back in the late 90s following a school shooting and cries of, we've got to do something. Violent crime and sex offenses are now hitting catastrophic levels. Listen to the increase from just the past year. Robbery is up 29%. Sex offenses are up 23%. Knife attacks and violent crime are up over 21%. Guns are impossible to get in the UK. They have been banned. But that didn't stop nearly 7,000 crimes committed last year with a firearm. But the one thing that is certain, guns are harder to find. But if that's true, how come the bad guys are committing violent crimes in record numbers using guns? Last year, over 37,000 crimes involving knives took place in England and Wales alone. 37,000. Well, at least they weren't using a gun? It makes you wonder, is Piers Morgan lighting up the airwaves, calling for a ban on assault knives all over the UK? Is he? What is an assault knife? You know, one that you would use in an assault. What is an assault weapon? I'd like to describe it as one that a person would use when under assault. Is everyone in the UK blaming knives for the rise in crime? Or are they now blaming the people wielding the knives? You can bet one thing for sure, that you won't hear a single progressive or anti-Second Amendment crusader make this point or talk about the current newly released numbers of violent crime and knife attacks in England. If you ban guns, crime increases. The wolves are the only ones that benefit. Thankfully, we live in a country full of sheepdogs.
It's Monday, April 2nd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Did you look at that that study, Stu? It's really remarkable to me how obvious all of this is. And yet, you can't use reason. You can't, there's no reason being used in America right now.
No, we go in these media cycles where it becomes the priority to stop a certain type of thing.
Yes.
You know, like, for example, school shootings, which we, of course, want to stop.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
But our overall focus should be on lowering the amount of people killed by violence.
Yes.
Right? And the fact that that keeps being cut in the midst of this is, it shows that the priorities are not protecting lives. The priorities are taking power away from individual citizens. If it wasn't, then you'd be focusing on something else where you can actually affect those numbers.
Well, you would think that seeing that we are having a problem in the United States with kids becoming violent, you would look overseas and you would say, okay, is this happening anyplace else? Okay, it's happening over in Europe. It's happening over in England. All right. What could be causing that? Well, it's not guns. So there must be something else. I wonder if those two things are connected. The rise in kids killing kids here using guns and kids killing kids overseas using knives.
Yeah, it seems like there's a deeper issue, and the person who's killed by a knife is no less valuable than the person that's killed by a gun, unless you're talking about politics. Because yes. Then that person is less valuable.
Yes.
It actually is.
Yes.
Everyone's
that's like kind of, it's almost as if you're killed by a gun, that it was totally preventable. But if you were killed by a knife, that's just a statistic. That's just another person. Of course, that person, they would have found something else to kill them.
They say the same thing when you bring up cars and pools. Mm-hmm. You know, more people are killed drowning in pools than are killed by rifles. More people are killed by clubs and bats than are killed by rifles. But those don't, there's a very limited anti-pool contingency out there. People really like pools. They're like really pro pool, most people. So there's just a very limited amount of people who care about such things. So they brushed off, just like you said. Of course people are going to, you know, cars, of course people are going to get in car accidents.
Yeah, kids are going to fall into the pool, or somebody's going to be drunk and they're going to fall into a pool. Somebody's going to drown. That's the price of having a pool.
And it's not going to surprise anybody in this audience that what they're actually fighting about is not really life. They don't actually care about life. They care about other things. They care about power. Of course, no one wants other people to die, but it's just not their political concern. It furthers nothing for them to stop someone from falling in a pool, right? It furthers nothing if they can lower the... I mean, look at the way they fight the technology that could help many of these things. And, you know, for example, Uber is a good example. Uber is... Here's a thing where drunk driving is a big problem. Real problem. Kills far more people than your, you know, assault rifles, right? But and Uber and Lyft are companies that have been able to help that. When you go out drinking, you now have a way to get home a lot easier. There's not cabs everywhere. You can get Ubers in weird places. They'll go anywhere. There's a lot of things that could benefit. It's not the ultimate solution, but it's helping that problem. And what did liberals do in every city across America as that was going is they fought the hell out of Uber. They tried to stop them. They tried to lump on additional costs to them. They tried to overregulate them. They did everything they could to stop that from happening, despite the fact their voters loved that service. The politicians still came out and tried to stop it because it was about controlling that industry. They had to make sure they got unions. They had to make sure they got these regulations involved. It had nothing to do with actually helping people's lives.
But it also has something to do with irrational fear. For instance, self-driving cars. Self-driving cars are to the point, or soon will be, to where they are dependable enough that they will dramatically reduce the number of deaths. We have had self-driving cars now all over the country. How many people have died in a self-driving car? or died because of one.
One.
One. Mm-hmm. One. Mm-hmm. And because one has died, it's a scandal. We can't let these things on the road. We have one death. The reason why self-driving cars are inevitable soon as people get rid of the irrational fear is because the number of deaths that they will prevent from car accidents in a year is staggering. But we have an irrational fear. There is one. So instead of rejecting the death that we've all grown to accept, just like we grow to accept death with pools and the most dangerous thing in your house. Do you know what the most dangerous thing in your house is? Your dishwasher. More kids, more people. It's why you're supposed to put the forks and the knives pointed down in the dishwasher instead of up. Mm-hmm. More people fall on an open dishwasher and kill themselves than I think any other appliance in your house.
You will never get more clean than if you climb in there, though. I'll say that.
Yeah.
You'll never get more clean.
No, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's great.
But that's true.
Right.
It's actually like, I mean, I don't know that it's the most dangerous. Is it?
I think it's the most dangerous appliance in your house.
Okay.
So you've grown accustomed to that. You've grown accustomed to that. We grow accustomed to death. We grow accustomed to stabbings. Mm-hmm. For some reason, we pick out and we say, no, knife is okay. Gun is bad. Just like we're doing, which is completely irrational. Self-driving cars, bad. All of this death on the highway, from drunk driving to driver error, that's okay. But panic when there is one death from self-driving cars.
It's totally true. I mean, this is we talk about this as a U.S. problem a lot, and there's like, 30,000 people who die in car accidents every year. I mean, it's a huge number anyway, right? Mm-hmm. Far more than rifles is like 300 people who mm-hmm. die a year. So, I mean, look at the scale of this. But think of the scale of this globally. Again, this technology becomes affordable fairly quickly. I think adding this expense to cars with the savings that you'll get when it comes to lives and everything else mm-hmm. it's a pretty easy equation. And I completely feel, you know, oh my God, I'm going to be very nervous the first time I'm in the back of one of those cars and it's driving me around. Like, it's irrational, but it's mm-hmm. real, mm-hmm. a real fear of having mm-hmm. no control there. Mm-hmm. But once that passes, and it'll take time, but it will. Listen to these stats. 1.3 million people per year die in road crashes globally. 1.3 million and an additional 20 to 50 million are injured or disabled. 50 million on the upper end of that number? I mean, this is something that you could give every toddler an AR-15 and have absolutely no problem that would even approach the scale of what we're talking about here. And they will go and they will make sure that this comes in incredibly slowly. They will stop the technology everywhere they can. They will overregulate it so these companies can't make money doing it.
And here's the reason why. They will do that, not for the reason that the gun lobby is lobbying. The gun lobby is not lobbying because of money, because of jobs. Nobody's talking about the number of jobs that would be lost if, you know, Cabela's shut down or, you know, Remington just went out. Nobody's talking about the job loss there. Nobody cares. Nobody cares. What we're saying is, we should defend the right of guns so you can defend yourself, because statistics show that it is more safe, not less safe, it is more safe. You will save more lives when people have guns. Leave it at that. We don't even have to go down the road of it's to make sure that we remain free, but think of that. What we're saying there is, we believe that if you lose your right to defend yourself in significant and meaningful ways, the government will do what all governments always do, and that is steamroll over people. So that's our debate. That's our reason for standing up for the Second Amendment. For cars, you will save millions of people, millions of lives by saying we're going to go on with self-driving cars. They will do everything they can to stop it and fight it only because of money. Who has blood on their hands? All right, here we go again. Another major data breach. This time, it's Orbitz, the popular travel booking platform. Perfect. They've announced a breach. They may have compromised 880,000 customers.
Oh. All right. Okay, that's good.
880,000 people. Hackers have accessed the credit card numbers that were used to book travel through Orbitz, the platform's website, in 2016 and 2017. They also have stolen names, dates of birth, gender, as if that exists, phone numbers, and addresses. There are so many threats in today's connected world that you're just never, ever going to be able to track them all. And if you're not looking out for them, you're going to find yourself in hot water all of a sudden. There is new LifeLock identity theft protection, and it has just added the power of Norton Security to help you protect against the threats of your identity and your devices that you can't easily see or fix on your own. Now, if you have a problem, they'll have agents that will work to fix it. Nobody can stop all cyber threats, prevent all identity theft, or monitor all transactions in all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover the threats that you might otherwise miss and then fix them. LifeLock.com. Call 1-800-LifeLock. 1-800-LifeLock. Use the promo code BACK. Get an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code BACK. An additional 10% off at LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Glenn Beck.
You know, I would like to, I'd like to go through a little exercise of common sense and consistency, critical thinking, if you will. The Sinclair promos that are going around. Now, I'm not a fan of Sinclair Broadcasting at all. Haven't been for many, many years. But they're being accused of doing something that seems insidious. Do we have the audio of the Sinclair promos? They are sending out a script, and they're having all of their stations. They're the largest. There's the largest owner of local TV stations in the nation, and so they're sending a script out, and they want everybody to do it. And somebody has edited together all of the Sinclair promos. Listen.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about troubling
plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 I think we get the point. This is extremely dangerous to our democracy. Now, this is where this promo ends. What does the rest of the promo say? What is the point of this? Let me give you the first half here. Hi. I'm so-and-so, and I'm so-and-so.
We should do this like a news team.
Hi, I'm Glenn Beck.
And I'm Stu.
And our greatest...
Oh, wait, no, I'm B. Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Northwest communities. We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that Como News produces. Of course, fill in your local station.
But we're concerned about the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country. The sharing of bias and false news has become all too common in our media.
More alarming. We'll pick this up in just a moment.
But that's more alarming than this. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi, I'm Glenn Beck.
And I'm Stu Bergier.
Your turn.
Oh, our greatest responsibility is to serve our local communities. We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that this station produces.
But we're concerned about the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news plaguing our country. The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories. Stories that just aren't true. Without checking facts first.
Boy, isn't that true, Stu.
That's not in the script.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their own platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think. This is very dangerous to our democracy. Cut! Now, that's what the media has played. And they have compiled it in such a way to make it seem insidious, that there is some overlord that is now hypnotizing you to this message. Now, let me ask you a question. Is any of this untrue? Is there any of this that is untrue? Do you think the people in newsrooms and the people in those local communities aren't concerned about the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country?
Of course they are. Even read that as a left-wing source. Let's just say this was MSNBC writing this promo. We're concerned about the troubling trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country. You're telling me they don't make that point on the air every day? Every day they say that there's conservative media, the Breitbarts of the world, the Blazes, the talk
Fox
radio,
News.
Fox News. There's one-sided reports. Tell me they would not air that exact thought.
Tell me that they wouldn't say that they run stories that some aren't even true. They run them without checking the facts first.
You can watch every single night on cable news. You can see that exact opinion about conservative media stated.
Okay. Let me ask, do we happen to have the CNN apples and oranges commercial?
Apples and bananas.
Apples and bananas. Sorry, that was a completely different analogy. Play this, please. Let's see what this message
this is.
This is
an apple.
It's an apple.
Some people might try to tell you that it's a banana. They might scream banana, banana, banana over and over and over again. They might put banana in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a banana. But it's not. This is an apple.
Okay, what is that saying? That is saying that some people are telling you a lie. Some people might even put it in big font. They might scream it over and over again. And some people, if you don't know, some people will then say, I believe that that's a banana.
You mean like some media outlets are publishing fake stories, stories that just aren't true without checking facts first? The sharing and bias of false news has become too common on social media? We're concerned about the trend of irresponsible, one-sided news stories plaguing our country?
Mm-hmm. And that some media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what some people think.
Exactly.
Banana, banana, banana.
Right.
Now,
would you say that CNN would say it was extremely dangerous to our democracy?
I bet they would.
I bet they'd say democracy, too.
Yes, they would. Now, here's the thing. CNN then says, basically, we're going to tell you the truth. It's an apple. And we're going to tell you over and over and over again, it's an apple. It's an apple. It's an apple. You can trust us. It's an apple. 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 Over and over and over again until you go, I can trust them. That's an apple. That's the point of that ad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me finish reading the rest of the promo that Trust Us, It's an Apple has a problem with.
At our local affiliate here, it's our responsibility to pursue and report the truth. We understand truth is neither politically left nor right. Our commitment to factual reporting is the foundation of our credibility, now more than ever.
Okay, you could say all they're saying here is, trust us, it's an apple, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So if you ended it there,
it would be equal, not worse,
yeah,
but equal.
It would be exactly equal.
Right.
Okay. But they don't end it there. But we are human, and sometimes our reporting might fall short. If you believe our coverage is unfair, please reach out to us by going to localnews.com and clicking on content concerns. We value your comments and we will respond back to you.
Is CNN responding back to the people who have problems with their coverage?
Nope.
Is MSNBC?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Okay, but if you ended it there, okay, you would be like, okay, well, they're just throwing this in, you know, and they're saying, okay, yeah, we're human, but they're not really going to listen. They don't really mean it.
We work very hard to seek the truth and to strive to be fair, balanced, and factual. We consider it our honor, our privilege, and our responsibility to deliver the news every day.
Thank you for watching, and we appreciate your feedback.
There you go.
So, what is the point of this story? You see, context matters. Media, they say, matters. No, not really. Context matters. The way the left looks at the media, they know that context doesn't matter. They just know if you say banana enough, people will believe it's a banana because we control the media. And if we control the media because media matters, then we can convince everyone it's a Chiquita banana. But if context matters, if facts matter, then you have to read all of it. What is the context where they're saying, hey, there's a problem. It's a problem in our country, and we think it's really dangerous. The context is, and you may think we are like that. And we are human, and so we may not even catch it. So tell us if we are like that. Okay. This is absolutely incredible to me. Incredible when you put the context in. But let me ask you this question. First, people in the media will say, well, they have these must-run things. They have these things where they put in opinions, and you must run that opinion because the company is making a point and saying, we've got to get this point across to all of our viewers. Okay. Well, let me look at this two ways. But even though they're doing that, they're then running a promo and they're saying, you know, we want to respond to you. So if you think we're wrong, please let us know. We will respond. All right. So they're saying, if you don't like what we're saying, you have a voice. Unlike what the left says on college campuses and everywhere else. You have a voice. Your different opinion matters to us. I'm not hearing that anywhere else. I'm not hearing that from CNN. Okay? I've not once seen a promo that says, hey, and by the way, if we call something a banana and it's really an apple, will you let us know?
Yeah, call us out on it.
Yeah.
And we'll respond.
Yeah. No.
No.
They won't do that. The second thing is, what's more insidious? A group of local broadcasters that are saying, hey, there's trouble because some people are using their power to hypnotize, and we care about your opinion, so please call us and let us know. And having a must-run campaign. Now, so you know, every company, every media source has must-run campaigns. Every radio station that you've ever listened to, have you ever noticed? And check us out on iHeart.com. That is a must-run promo. Let me give you another one that you might be aware of. It's Green Week on NBC. That is a political position that we have to stop greenhouse gases because the planet is warming. Remember, that's when the planet was warming. Global warming has to be stopped because we are so sure of it that we are making an edict that every show that runs on NBC must run an episode that revolves around global warming in this week. That sounds like propaganda. That sounds like control. That sounds like hypnotize, doesn't it? Why is it the left didn't have a problem with NBC running Green Week?
Right. I mean, look at this promo. It's the same thing they would say. Well, of course we care about the Earth. It's okay to care about the Earth. First of all, that's not what they're pushing.
No.
We all know it.
No.
Second of all, that you could say you think Sinclair is only criticizing places like CNN for fake news, right? You could say that because you think Sinclair has a conservative lean. Nothing in the promo says that. Like, the stuff that was on Green Week was much more blatantly advocating a political position than this is. This is legitimately just saying, hey, there's some bad coverage out there. If we are one of the examples of it, please call us out.
Please let us know. Please let us know.
And the apple and the banana of this story here is they make it seem like because 20 different news anchors across the country did the same promo, as opposed to a widely distributed single source, that it's supposedly worse. It's worse because 20 different people said it to smaller audiences than one giant anchor, an hour after hour after hour after hour, said it over multiple times, over multiple days, on one singular voice on a giant network that's in 100 million homes.
Right. Or, you know, I would just say, you know, that you have all of these wonderful people that we've grown to love and we're laughing and we're completely not expecting propaganda that is political in nature to just wash over us show after show after show for an entire week.
Let me give you an example. Because Green Week, as you remember, every show on NBC had this.
Every
show. However, also CNBC, MSNBC, NBC News, NBC Sports, the Sci-Fi Channel, the Sundance Channel, Bravo, USA Network, Telemundo, plus Universal Studios and its related theme parks, and the company's website, including female-focused iVillage, which I guess existed at the time. I don't know if it still does. Dozens of shows will have environmental themes or messaging. From Sammy and Lucas's Green Wedding on Days of Our Lives to MSNBC's examination of green issues in the 2008 presidential campaign, to The Office considering recycled paper. The Office considering recycled paper. That's how far they went on this.
Okay, so here's the thing. Yes, Sinclair has got some problems. I think Sinclair has done some really, you know, bad things and different things. They've done some good things. Whatever. I'm aware of it.
It's a hell of an endorsement.
GE, they've gone from theme parks to everything that you watch in the movie theater to television, promoting a political agenda. Didn't seem to me to have anybody, they didn't have any problem. Well, this affects 50 million people with Sinclair. Yeah. And the other affects 350 million people. That's, by the way, just inside the borders of the U.S. Let's just assume that Universal and NBC produces nothing that is affecting people in other countries. Blinds.com. Blinds.com is the best at what they do. Blinds.com. You, if you would just do yourself a favor, if you would go to Blinds.com and you would look for blind shade, shutters, or drapes. Here we are in the season where people are going to start selling their houses. And, you know, we used to have spring cleaning where my mom would take everything out of the house. And you want to do some simple home improvements. Go to Blinds.com and look at the choices that you have for blind shade, shutters, and drapes. You're going to get free samples, free shipping, free design consultation. Plus, they'll guide you through the first installation step by step. You'll find out yourself why 20 million Americans have trusted Blinds.com to upgrade their home, making them the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. And now through April 3rd, that's tomorrow, when you buy one, you get 50% off at Blinds.com/Beck. This only lasts until tomorrow night. It is Blinds.com/Beck. Buy one, get 50% off the next one. Rules and restrictions do apply. Blinds.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Welcome back to the program. Glad you're here.
Thank you for listening to your local affiliate today. It's a must run, sorry.
Gosh, that's crazy. You know, I mean, look, here's the thing. The ends don't justify the means. They don't. You have to base things on facts. You don't like Sinclair. Okay, left, fine. You don't like Sinclair. A, be consistent, and then expose them for what you don't like. Or do you even know what you don't like? Is it just that they have a different opinion than you? Because that seems to be your MO lately, and we get into that when we return.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Well, surely a major news organization is not going to publish an article associating God with white supremacists and, you know, white nationalism on Easter, right? I mean, that's not going to... Oh, they did? The cover photo is from a rally, a KKK rally held in 1963. NBC published the op-ed by Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove, who describes himself as an evangelical Christian who connects with the broad spiritual tradition and its monastic witnesses. The title says it all. On Easter Sunday, Christians must remember how easily and often our faith is used to defend white supremacy. Okay. That's a good safety tip. Sure. All right. In the article, he suggests that we should associate Easter Sunday, the celebration of the resurrection, with an Easter Sunday in 1873, quote, 145 years ago, when hundreds of white men in Colfax County, Louisiana, took up arms after Sunday morning worship services and marched on their county courthouse to reclaim control of the local government from representatives who had been democratically elected by black and white people voting together. Standing their ground in the hopes that federal reinforcements would arrive in time, every defender of democracy at Colfax County Courthouse was murdered. Okay. The last line reads like a book report on the Communist Manifesto. Quote, every defender of democracy at the Colfax County Courthouse was murdered. Okay. The entire thing is just a screed. Why don't you just take out the whips and just start just whipping yourself? I saw that in Angels and Demons. I think that's what it was. I would just start whipping yourself. Wilson Hartgrove writes, quote, as a white evangelical in this land, I cannot celebrate Easter in 2018 without working to reclaim the concept of redemption from the forces that attempt to use my faith and its founding stories to defend white supremacy. Okay. In the South, in the 1800s, that may have been true. And should we recognize the things that we have done wrong? Yes, we should. Should we ask forgiveness? Yes, we should. Is that why NBC published this on Easter morning and NBC News tweeted a link to it later in the day? Is this why? He describes redemption and the redemption story as justification for terrorism. What? The Easter story? The bigger issue is that narratives like this have such a massive platform. NBC bills itself as NBC News home for op-eds, in-depth analysis, and essays about news and current events. We are NBC Think. Oh. Find opinions that will make you look differently and deeply about your world? You can also turn to the website and get such gems as the March 31st piece, which described the trial of the Pulse nightclub shooter as a traumatizing example of sexist Islamophobia. Ah. Really? Let's see what kind of articles that'll help us think differently when it comes time for Ramadan.
It's Monday, April 2nd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Did you see, Stu, what the university professor, where was it? Up in Maine, I think. You saw the headline, transgender. People say that Jesus was a cross-dressing man.
Yeah, I did see that.
Okay. Did you actually read the story?
You know, I didn't give the theory the real academic interest right. It deserved.
Correct. No. I didn't either. I didn't either. I read it this weekend, and I was because I was just like, okay, whatever. Okay, but I have to. I need to bring this up in context of a broader issue. So, what the professor is actually teaching is that Jesus was a cross-dresser, and he also had a dad complex, okay? Now, I don't know if they buy in fully to who his father was, but he had a dad complex. And the professor went as far to say that as Jesus was being crucified, Jesus was focusing on his father, which shows that he not only had a father complex, but he had a strange relationship that went in obviously into some sort of bondage and S&M with his father in childhood. Okay,
I'm glad you threw an obviously there because that was so such a standard belief of everyone.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that is fine. That's fine. Whatever. Yeah, it's not really even worth in the mainstream media even covering. Why? I mean, you know, hey, free thought. Okay. Laura Ingraham is being boycotted now. And she's being boycotted because she said to, one of the Parkland students, David Hogg, who has said all kinds of things about people. Horrendous things about people. Horrendous things about people I know and like, Dana Lash, that she's not what David Hogg describes. He said all kinds of things about people like Marco Rubio being splattered in blood and likes it. That's okay. But Laura Ingraham, after he started talking about, you know, he couldn't get into college, or at least he was been rejected by four of the colleges that he had applied to, he started talking about that. Why? I don't know. he must think that the colleges don't want a lefty activist.
Colleges hate leftist activists. They are really against, especially ones that are outspoken in the media.
Yeah.
They just do not want anything to do with them. It's unbelievable the unfair treatment and leftist activists at colleges.
I know. So he started talking about it. And Laura Ingraham responds, you know, stop whining. It's not unusual, even with grades like yours. Okay. That sent David Hogg off. Now, I don't think David Hogg even cared. I really don't. And if he does, he's got an issue. He has very thin skin, and it's an issue.
Because in all honesty, because like, I keep thinking I've missed, like, did she have a 40-minute monologue in which she just wrecked this guy?
No, it was a tweet.
Literally the only problem you could possibly have with the tweet is that she said the word whine.
Stop whining.
Like, if she said, stop complaining, probably there, because they keep saying she mocked him. Now, maybe she did in another thing that I'm missing. But in this tweet, all she said was he was whining about his grades. It's actually understandable given acceptance levels. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's just a really boring tweet, right? Like, she's just saying that, hey, you shouldn't be complaining about this because it's very standard of the way your grades would be treated at this university, right? Now, you could say the word whine instead of complain. I guess if you're gonna parse those two approaches, I guess, is the entire genesis of this boycott?
I have to tell you, I don't know. I've been so focused on this that I haven't had a chance to really ponder how Jesus, when he was cross-dressing and being nailed to the cross, was really fantasizing about the sex fetish that he had with his dad. So I've been really studying that. I haven't even had a chance to take on the bigger issue of complain versus whine, you know?
But that's it, though, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean,
well, now it's not. Now it's not. Now he says he won't stop until she apologizes for all of the people.
Yeah,
that she has offended, all of the people throughout her career.
Because she did apologize for it, which, again, here's the exact tweet. David Hogg rejected by four colleges to which he applied and whines about it. Dinged by UCLA with a 4.1 GPA, totally predictable given acceptance rates. That is the entire tweet. And then it links to a story, and the story has much of what she tweeted in the headline. So she basically quoted the headline for about half the tweet. It's just the word whines. Now, again, I don't know. Is that mocking? Is that, they keep saying attacked and mocked?
Okay, no.
No.
So here's the thing. This is only being furthered because of people like Media Matters. We've seen this movie over and over and over again. And I have to tell you, I am not for boycotts, but I have to tell you, I'm not for nuking cities. Why? Because it's immoral. Now, was it immoral in World War II? No. Based on the number of people that were going to die, if we didn't nuke those two cities, the death rate would have been much, much, much higher. So, was it a good thing? No. Could you justify it? Yes. Did we warn people? Yes. We dropped millions of flyers on those cities saying, please leave and take food with you. Okay? That's what we did. What stopped us from nuking other cities? One, we knew it was immoral, but more importantly, we knew that the other side had a nuke as well. And so we had mutually assured destruction. If I nuke them, they're going to nuke me. If I take Moscow, they'll take New York or Washington. And then it will just increase and we'll all be dead. Mutually assured destruction. Mad. It's mad to use nukes because of mutually assured destruction. Would it be immoral to use nukes in response to nukes? Or is it more immoral to let one side just kill everybody in one country and you don't respond at all? I think that's just as immoral. Because in the case of the Soviet Union, we believed that they were wrong. I think that would be just as immoral to do nothing. Right now, the left is using nukes on our media. They're using nukes on Laura Ingraham. Now, Laura Ingraham is a big girl and she can fight for herself. But they've just nuked her for no reason. Imagine someone dropping a nuke on Los Angeles because they thought people were too tan, or they didn't like the latest hairstyle, or they were pissed off that Steven Spielberg changed too much of the book for Ready Player One, and so they decided to vaporize all of New York. That is what is happening with Laura Ingraham. They are vaporizing her for using the word wine. It's immoral for us to stand around. So I'll explore what we can and perhaps should do when we come back. All right, if you are hiring, now is the time to hire, and here's the way to do it. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. ZipRecruiter.com. Don't just post something online and then pray for the right person to see it. ZipRecruiter knew there had to be a smarter way, so they built a platform. This platform posts on over 100-plus job sites, and then it goes out and finds the right candidate for you. It learns what you're looking for. So ZipRecruiter.com/Beck identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. The invitations are what really, truly is revolutionizing the way people are finding their next hire. The average person, 80% of the people who use ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in the first day. And ZipRecruiter.com/Beck doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications that you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidate is there, and find them. Try it out for free for yourself. See the difference. Find the best candidate, not the best one you can find, the best candidate with ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it for free now at ZipRecruiter.com/Beck.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So more than a dozen companies now have that were sponsoring Laura Ingraham's show have bailed on her in a boycott initiated by a high school student, David Hogg. It's been orchestrated by the far left. I mean, we've seen this over and over and over again. So the companies that are boycotting, Office Depot, Gerber, Hulu, Honda, Johnson & Johnson, the as of yesterday afternoon, the list is swelled to 17 companies. Can you get all 17 for me, Stu?
Do we know if these are the real boycotts or are these Glenn Beck-style boycotts? I've never, ever aired my commercial on this guy's show, but I'm not going to in the future.
Is it that sort of nonsense again?
I don't know.
Or is it?
I don't know. Have you seen Johnson & Johnson? Johnson & Johnson doesn't do usually controversial things.
Right, like maybe they do. They advertise on Laura Ingraham. I don't watch the show, but I mean, it's possible.
Gerber? I haven't seen a Gerber spot on Fox. Have you?
I don't remember seeing one.
Yeah. I mean, Gerber, it wouldn't make sense that Gerber would even, with the demographics of Fox, who are you going after? You're going after 20, 30, and maybe 40-year-olds with Gerber? You're going after young families. That's generally not who the target audience is at Fox. It's 55 plus. So I bet Gerber hasn't even, I bet Gerber's never run a spot on Fox News at night. This is what they did with me is they said, you know, we got all these companies. It was like Mercedes-Benz never ran a commercial, ever. They never ran a commercial. Mercedes-Benz has said, jawohl, we stand in line. We'll never do that. You never did.
And none of those, you know, those German companies have such a clean record that they can totally judge others on, you know, they're...
We are Krups. We made, you know, lots of, we made the fixtures in the gas chambers, but this guy...
this is too much for us. It's over our line, guys.
We draw the line there. Sure. Yes, we're a German company. Sure. Yes. But no more. Uh-uh. He compared him to Hitler. Hitler was much better. Right, Mercedes? Okay, so I don't know how much of this is even real, but in talking to a friend of mine last night, Ben Shapiro, and talking to Ben, you know, he's made this mutually assured destruction case quite a bit, and I think he's right. If we don't push back on the companies and do what they're doing and say, you know what, Johnson & Johnson, you know what, who are these companies again, Gerber, oh, look, Gerber, I have no problem with you. I like what you've done recently. I like that you took stands with, you know, for kids that have Down syndrome. I think that's fantastic. And don't just belittle them and yell at them. Let's, you know, tweet to them, put their name out there on Facebook, go to their Facebook page, tweet their name. They don't like that. And just say, Gerber, please stop getting involved in politics. Advertise on every side. We're all people. We disagree. Advertise on all sides. Otherwise, I got to stop using your product. I'll go find another baby food. Because in today's world, I can go find another baby food. Oh, Home Depot. I can go. Or that's not actually Home Depot. I'm sorry. I said Home Depot. Office Depot. Office Depot. Who is even going to Office Depot anymore? You got to question your life if you're going to Office Depot. Really? Have you heard of Amazon? Really? I got to. You know what? I got to go get some toner. Okay, you could do that, or I could just use Amazon Prime and have it here in an hour, and we don't have to drive. We could play cards, you know, instead of you getting in the car. Anyway, Office Depot.
That was just an anti-concept of office store monologue.
Just, come on. What are you going to Office Depot for? I got to get some more paper. Okay. Or I could use Amazon Prime. I'm just saying. Hulu, Honda, Johnson & Johnson will give you the rest of the list. But you got to take a stand. If they're going to nuke a city, it's immoral not to put the fear of God in the other side.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So we're talking about the companies that are supposedly boycotting the Laura Ingraham show. Has anybody seen an Office Depot commercial on Laura Ingraham? I mean, I guess they might run them. I don't know if that's true or not.
You know, the whole list. Office Depot, Liberty Mutual Insurance, TripAdvisor, Nestle, Johnson & Johnson, Joseph A. Bank. Which is like, that's a troubling one, because who else are they going to give their 95 suits to when the purchase of one suit?
Yeah, if you buy one suit, you'll never need another suit ever. We send one to you every 3 days.
It's a suit subscription. Yeah. Every 3 days, you'll get a brand new suit for Joseph A. Bank that costs $8. Buy our suits. Now they've got all the commercials they need.
Right.
Hulu, Expedia, is it Nutrish or... Yeah.
What's Nutrish?
I think it's a... Isn't that the one that's... What's-her-face's... the Rachel Ray's food company? Yeah. Is it right?
No, my dogs are going to be... really bummed. They were really loving Rachel Ray's recipes. They're like, is this Rachel Ray? And I'm like, woof, woof. And they were like, woof, woof. Wow. Rachel Ray? And I'm like, yeah.
And like, I know, like, there's, you know, we've had this boycott conversation 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And you know, we don't, there's no need to rehash it. But I would say one thing I can't get myself motivated to do is chase a dog food company around for who they're advertising to. I don't freaking care what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing. I understand there's a bigger issue than that, but I'm not going to spend my life chasing around Rachel Ray's dog food. Right. That is not going to be how, that's not going to be my tombstone. You,
what is that a sign of her career? I mean, what chef is also saying, I also make a pretty good dog food. Eh?
Here's the recipes that didn't work out. Buy them in a bag. All right. Jenny Craig, Wayfair, Miracle Ear, Stitch Fix, Principal, Honda, Progressive.
What a surprise.
And Bear. I mean, outside of
Bear.
Huh. Did Bear have anything in their past that they want to...
From the people who brought you heroin. Bear. This is my favorite. Most people don't know that heroin was invented and packaged by Bear. Do you know why? You know what it was for? Do you even know this, too? Have I told you this? This is one of my favorite facts. Bear originally packaged heroin... because they found that it was a miracle drug for alcoholics. You take this for a couple of weeks, and you're never going to want to drink alcohol ever again. yes, but now I'm addicted to heroin. It didn't work out well for them, so they took that product off of the market because... I mean, sure, it cured a few alcoholics. They indeed didn't drink again, so they met their promise.
Hmm. You know, it's interesting too that Laura Ingraham apologized for that tweet of hers.
Yeah,
and Bear didn't accept it.
Bear didn't
accept the apology. Let me give you a little. Here's another apology you might be interested from history.
Okay.
This is from the Bear Aspirin Company has apologized for its inhumane acts of its parent firm, including using Jewish slave laborers during the Holocaust. I have sorrow and regret, and I apologize for the inhumanity in my country for what IG Farben did to your people.
Oh my gosh. Bear is IG.
Because you might remember IG Farben, who was the guy who it had a significant investment, quote, in a company that made Zyklon B gas, which was used to kill hundreds of thousands of Jews at Auschwitz. Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God.
You get no moral authority for the rest of your corporation, Bear. Come on.
Oh, my God.
You won't accept Lori. She tweeted the word wine, and you're not going to accept that? And we're supposed to accept, hey, sorry about the Zyklon B. Oopsie doopsie. That is insanity.
Wow.
I mean, maybe the dog food company you could take this from. I'm not accepting it from Bear.
I'm not either.
That's insanity.
Yeah, so we did a little more than a tweet. You know, the little pellets that killed 6 million people. That was us.
Seriously,
but we had a bad day. Or a few years, half a decade. But it was bad, and we weren't thinking at the time. I just rattled it off, the formula for Zyklon B, and it just got out of control. Oopsie.
Oopsie doopsie. By the way, this apology, timely by Bear, December 21st, 1995.
Wow.
It took them 50 years to come up with an I'm sorry over Zyklon B? And we're supposed to be, oh, look at the moral stand they're taking against Laura Ingraham's tweet. It's just unbelievable. It's not, you know what? It is absolutely not unbelievable. It is completely believable.
That's why you just have to I think we should all tweet to Bear Aspirin today. You're the inventor of Zyklon B. Hey, Bear, we forgave you for the gas that killed the Jews.
And we're letting you medicate us. Right. We're saying, you know what? Give us things to ingest. That's our response to you. Oh, my God.
Oh. if this just wasn't our life, it would be so enjoyable. If we were aliens and we were just hovering above the planet, wouldn't this be a scream? This would be like, what are they going to do next? What are they going to do? I bet you they'll forgive the Zyklon B people. And then the Zyklon B will get all haughty about a tweet. No way!
You've written a crappy sitcom, sir. That is not believable, and people will not accept it. Wow. You just think that they can't get more bizarre. And every day, it hits that new standard. The hurdle is cleared on a daily basis. When you have, this is a New York Daily News, 1995, the headline, this is a half a century after it occurred. Bear sorry for Nazi role. They're sorry for their Nazi role. A half century after it occurred.
They're not even going as far as the Zyklon B. You don't have to. It's just hysterical that we're okay with that.
Yeah.
Hey, sorry about the Nazi thing.
Oopsie. Oh, no.
We accept that from Volkswagen. Yeah. Volkswagen puts a flower right by the ashtray. Volkswagen.
Yeah.
It was Hitler's car.
You were all like, that's totally fine.
Yeah, but it's totally about peace. I love that.
But seriously, shame on you, Laura Ingraham, for using the word wine.
Man. If you're a bear, you have to accept every apology, no matter how sincere about anything.
Somebody should just
be
in the boardroom.
Accepted.
Somebody should just be in the boardroom when they're like, this is an outrage. And somebody just stand there like a clock every 15 minutes, just go, Zyklon B.
Yep.
You're right. Okay, you're right. You're right.
We forgive them. Say the word Zyklon B every 15 minutes in all meetings.
All right. Let me tell you about My Patriot Supply. We need a culture of preparedness. That is what actually comes from the mouth of the FEMA head, Brock Long. He says, yeah, we really need it. America, you know, FEMA's not going to be there all the time. You know, hurricanes, wildfires, something else. Just, I think we could just call natural disasters California. California might happen. And so you should be prepared. And the best time to do it is right now, before California happens. 4-week emergency food supply. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, only $99. Go to preparewithglenn.com. That's preparewithglenn.com. Or call 1-800-200-7163. 4 weeks of food for less than $100. Come on, you can't. I mean, that's not possible. That's not possible. It is only at preparewithglenn.com. Really good food shipped right to your door. Become part of the culture of preparedness. Call 800-200-7163, 800-200-7163, or preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
You know, I also just can't get past the fact that Office Depot is even advertising. I'm sorry. I know maybe this is a personal thing, but I just don't know. Why does anybody go to Office Depot anymore? Really, why?
I have to avoid stores like that. Office Depot is one. The Container Store is even a bigger offender.
Those are deadly.
Because it's half my salary when I go into them. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
When I see organizational products, I must purchase all of them for no reason. I don't use them.
I
don't know. I'm not organized. I don't use them.
I know.
I just buy them.
I am horribly organized. But I go into a place like the Container Store, and I want to buy everything in there.
Everything.
Yeah. And for no reason, because there's no way I'm ever going to organize any of my crap in there.
Wouldn't it be great if my towels were organized alphabetically by color. No, it wouldn't, and you're not going to do it.
But right then, but right you then, think about it.
Like, God, how have I lived my entire life having purple towels before blue towels?
I don't, you know, I'm really bad at stuff like this because I go into stores like that and I get motivated. I'm like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And then I never do it. It's like, do you remember, you know Tony Robbins?
Yes.
Okay. So Tony Robbins is a motivational guy, and he's really good at it. And this is like 20 years ago. I was sitting, eating Doritos on the couch, just feeling like a loser. And I'm watching, one of his infomercials, and I'm like, yeah, I should get that because I could do something with my life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I order it, and it took a lot for me to order it, but I ordered it. And then it came, and then it just sat there, and I never unwrapped it. And it was like, in that box, that's the Tony Robbins stuff. But I never had the motivation to actually, I needed Tony to come over and go, hey, you got to unwrap that. I mean, think about what you can do. You're strong enough to do it. You got the power. You should unwrap that. And then,
because there's a certain line of laziness you've crossed there, which is like not even putting the first one in and ignoring it.
Yeah.
You actually didn't even take it out of the box.
I didn't even take it out of the box. I eventually gave it away, to somebody else that had the energy to unwrap it.
Mm.
Okay. But I carried it around in like two different moves. Okay. I still had it. I was like, I'm not getting rid of this because one of these days I'm going to unwrap it. Okay. So like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I called Tony Robbins and I'm like, Tony, and he didn't pick up. He was, I don't know where. And so I leave a message on
it. You just randomly called Tony Robbins?
And so I call him up and I'm like, Tony, hey, listen, I need to talk to you, get some motivation because I don't know. I'm just turning into a big fat blob. And so he calls me back. Now I'm not there this time. And he leaves a message. Hey, Glenn, anytime. Love to see you. You know what? I'm going to be out so-and-so. Why don't you call me and then we'll get together. I didn't call him back. I heard it and I was like, oh, geez, I'm going to have to get on the phone with him. I'm going to have to talk to him. And then
you called him.
I know. So a week later, he calls me back. Bud, did you get my message? Are these getting through? Because... love to see you. In fact, I'm going to be in San Diego. We're doing a thing. Why don't you come on down? You really love it. I don't know. Now, I mean, he's too positive that everything is going to work out and you're going to be successful. And then if he shows me how to do it, then I actually have to do it because he would come over to my house and go, hey, you got to open the box.
Well, people don't know this about Tony Robbins, but he's like, super involved in a lot of charity stuff, including Operation Underground Rescue, right?
Yeah, he's really, really involved in the saving of Operation Underground Railroad and the Nazarene Fund. He's been remarkable. He'll just go out. The first time he heard about it, he was on stage and somebody stood up and said, hey, I want to tell you about this group. And he said, wow, that sounds great. I'll give you $100,000. And then he said, anybody else? He raised $500,000 from his audience that day. And so now he just will go around and he'll have these things and he'll be like, hey, you want to feel good? You want to change the world? Let me tell you about this organization. And he does. And so every once in a while, just get like a check of $500,000 from Tony Robbins. And he's like, he would get a call. He just did it again. And he's just doing it because he believes in it. He's gone on operations fully disguised. I mean, he's enormous. And he was wearing this full beard and in total disguise. So he was going to be, going for one of the busts.
You don't realize how big I don't think I really realized how big of a guy he was until Shallow Hal. Remember that movie Shallow Hal with Jack Black? And at one point, Jack Black says that his fingers are the size of bananas. That's like the greatest description of a large person I've ever heard. So, at least you picked a good guru. I picked Don LaPree.
Did you?
Right, I was out of high school because I had a lot of big opportunities chasing me around,
yeah,
in the business world.
Sure.
But this guy kept coming on TV at like 3 a.m. in front of like a really cheesy Ferrari Testarossa from the mid-80s saying, you got my one-bedroom apartment. I place thousands of tiny classified ads. And I was like, that sounds like a great idea, And I ordered the National Reminder Service bundle because you could sell them. And what would happen is they would send you a postcard to remind you of a birthday coming up. It sounded like the greatest idea of all time.
Yeah.
If, you know, the internet wasn't on the verge of being created.
Right.
I did sell one.
You did?
I did sell one to my mom. So thanks, Mom.
Well, hopefully
that's working out for you.
I mean, at least you opened the box.
I did open the
You opened the box. Or returned a phone call. I'm like, he's going to want to talk.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Hey, Stu, there's more to worry about today. Sure, we could talk about Stormy Daniels, David Hogg. I love that. We could go on and on and on. But the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, it's getting worse.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
to hear. I'm glad to hear that there's more to worry about.
Oh, there's more to worry about. Last week, 30,000 Palestinians, still irked by President Trump's decision to acknowledge that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, you know, where they have the actual capital and the Knesset, you know, the Senate and the House, where they have that. Donald Trump had the audacity to say, yep, that's the capital. Crazy. Anyway, of course, people started to riot, and they started to riot along Gaza's border with Israel, stopping occasionally just to, you know, say a quick prayer, and then back to rioting. The coordinated six-week sit-in was a peaceful protest. Okay, sure, they had cocktail hour, Molotov cocktail hour, you know, and they would roll gas-soaked tires, you know, into the fence. That was a fiery riot. But it was a peaceful, fiery riot, which I think only the Palestinians can get away with. Two Palestinian gunmen fired at Israeli guards peacefully. By the end of it, Israeli forces had killed 15 rioters. Damn them. When they reported on all of it, the mainstream media took the opportunity to portray the events as another part of the Palestinian struggle. An underdog group of jilted Muslims devout to the religion of peace. The New York Times, for example, described the riot with a vaguely anti-Israel sentiment. Quote, Palestinians, supported by human rights groups, view the events as a legitimate protest that was met with disproportionate force by trigger-happy Israeli soldiers. End quote.
Oh.
Diplomatic venom spits from one side to the next. Israel's defense minister commended the Israeli soldiers. He said, I think, personally, that all of our troops that were there deserve a medal.
How dare he? How dare he?
For protecting his country. Like it's his country.
It's Monday, April 2nd. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
It's everybody's country.
What next? Are we going to let all countries name their own capitals? We're just going to let that happen anytime they want. The United States, hey, it just gets to be Washington, D.C. If they want it to be Washington, D.C. If they wanted it to be Philly before that, it was Philly. Yeah, we're going to let that happen. So stupid.
We got to call the U.N. We got to get this under control. All right. I want to tell you about... tell you about a guy who just died at 107 years old. Greedy bastard who just 90 wasn't enough for him. 95, 100. No, 105. No, I need all 107. While there are people that don't even get 55 years, he had to hoard all of them. The reason why we're bringing this up is not because he was 107 years old. This guy was a true, remarkable hero. His name was Johann von Holst. And he lived in Amsterdam in 1943. He came up with this idea to be able to smuggle infants out of Amsterdam before they were sent to the gas chambers. He took infants all the way up to 12 years of age. The children had been taken mostly from their parents at a deportation center and brought by nursery workers to a nursery next to a teacher's college. And he was the principal at this teacher's college. It was a school that was doing really well until the Nazis came in and then they cut all the funding. And so he convinced the parents, hey, why don't you pitch in for the school? He became the principal. They kept the doors open, but it was right next to this nursery. And so he had this crazy idea. Hey, maybe we shouldn't send children to gas chambers. I know. I know. Bear was doing the right thing. They'd later go on to develop aspirin. Did you know that, Stu?
I accept their apology.
Right. Sorry, it's a joke from the previous hour. So what he did was he said, hand the children over the hedge in the back. And I'm going to hide them in a classroom until they could be smuggled out to the countryside and to the Dutch resistance. And the Dutch resistance would save these kids. So no parents went with their kids. He was credited in helping rescue 600 children. But all the way up to his death, he was haunted by the hundreds that were still in the nursery. He said the last day that he was there, he was asked, how many can you take? He said 12. He said, at that point, I realized I couldn't take everyone with me. He said, you know for a fact that children you leave behind are going to die. And they asked, how many can you take? And he said, I just quickly responded, 12. Why didn't I say 13? Does it sound familiar if you watched Schindler's List? It's the same thing. There were 140,000 Jews in the Netherlands when Germany invaded. By September of 1944, 100,000 of them were dead. It's really strange to think that somebody who saves children is a hero. In Amsterdam, that saving 600 children is heroic, because you would think that everyone would do that. You have infants and small children that are being sent to a gas chamber. If I ask you that, you know, in the middle of the night, hey, should we get up? I heard there's a gas chamber around the corner. You want to get up because we can save 100 children? 600 children, 1,000 children. All we just have to do is just get up, go outside, grab them through a fence. All of us would say, are you serious? Yes. Okay, let me get my shoes. We would all do that. There are only 5,000. What is the number here? 5,595 people who were Dutch that did that. It's so easy to think that we would be somebody that would stand up. I'm not sure we would. If our own life was at stake, I'm not sure we would. Look at the things that are at stake now that people aren't willing to lose. They're not willing to lose their good standing with their friends. They're not willing to speak out because they might lose their job. I wonder if we don't exercise that muscle from time to time, if we don't exercise the standing up against the bullies. I mean, that's what David Hogg says he's doing with Laura Ingraham. He's standing up against the bullies, but isn't he becoming a bully himself? And when we stand against the bullies, do we ever even look at ourselves and say, gee, am I becoming everything that I despise? I mean, how is it that those people who are standing up and saying, I don't want that person to speak at my university, how is it they don't notice that they're becoming fascist themselves? Oh, well, it's because we all know that that's wrong. No. No, there's a lot of people that don't believe that. Yeah, I know. Well, they have to be stopped. That makes you a fascist. You have a difference of opinion, and so you want to stop everyone else. That makes you a fascist. Is it that the people at the schools, the universities, they're not thinking? Or do they not really care anymore? Do they really truly believe that the world will be a better place if we just silence all those people who disagree with us? And how is that different? Because remember, it wasn't just the Jews. It was anyone who had a different opinion than the Nazis. Seattle police have begun to seize guns under a mental health law in Seattle. Teachers are holding massive walkouts in Oklahoma and Kentucky. And I'm probably going to have a sandwich for lunch. So we all relax just a little bit. You want your home sold on time and for the most amount of money without a whole bunch of excuses? If you're thinking about selling your house, first of all, now is the time. People are starting to think about, you know, when school lets out, we're going to move and, you know, we need to sell our house. So now people are starting to list it, getting it ready. I have sold my house many times over the years because I'm in the circus called radio, which continues to have us move from place to place over the last 40 years. And so I know a little bit about the hassle of moving. It's really hard, and it's doubly hard. It's harder than it needs to be when you have the wrong agent. I don't know. How do you find the right agent? May I suggest realestateagentsitrust.com. They have over 1,000 agents all over America who are just like you. Their word is their bond. They're fans of the show. They share your sensibilities. They're fully vetted and handpicked for their knowledge, their skill, and their track record. And thousands of people have already put realestateagentsitrust.com to the test, and the results are already remarkable. realestateagentsitrust.com. They've helped families who are moving to another area, families who are taking care of their parents remotely, or just helping families get the most for their home as quickly as possible. So if you are buying or selling, you need a great real estate agent that you can trust. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
So you remember when Iceland, put their new constitution together and they said, hey, tweet us your constitutional amendments. I thought that was very progressive, you know. Hey, let's listen to the people. You know, Hothead 508's got a great amendment. I think we should consider that. Well, kind of like that. We've decided to take a poll on the Ten Commandments. You know, are they still really even relevant?
Are they important principles to live by, or no longer an important principle to live by?
Yeah, now I'm going to go out on a limb and say, yep. I'm going to give a blanket yep to all 10.
No, that's because you're a hate monger.
Well, of course.
So I want to get your guesses on the American percentages who say it's still an important principle to live by. I'm going to bounce around here. Let's see if you can get them within 5 points on these. Let's say you shall not commit adultery. Is that still an important principle to live by, or no longer an important principle? What percentage said it's still important?
It's still important?
Yeah.
70%.
Okay. Should we just go through them as we do them? Actual answer, or you want to wait for the answer?
No, go through them.
You shall not covet or desire other people's possessions.
Oof. I'm guessing what people are thinking now?
Yes, you're guessing what people are thinking, not what you think.
I don't know.
What percentage said is an important principle to live by?
I don't know. It could go, I don't know. Because people don't make sense anymore. Nothing is consistent. Well, I could see the people who are saying redistribution of wealth. I could see those saying, that's 100%. I'm for that one, 100%. So, I mean, I 70%.
70%.
80%. 80%. Give me 80 on that one.
Okay. You shall not steal. They didn't even go with the vows on this one.
I would hope 100%.
100. You shall not use the Lord's name in vain.
Oh, 5%.
Honor and obey your mother and father.
60? Is it more positive or less positive?
I'm not going to reveal that at this time.
Okay.
Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy.
Oh, 5%.
I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God before me.
Because it's misunderstood, I think it was 0.
You shall not commit murder.
I would say 100%.
Would say it's still an important principle to live by.
Yeah, yeah.
Last one, you shall not bear false witness against or tell lies about other people.
Should be 100%.
What are you? I'm not saying what it should be. What are you saying it is?
I'm saying it's be 90.
Okay. Okay.
How do you justify lies?
Glenn Beck trying to get within 5% of these.
Oh.
Okay.
Did I get to within 5 of any of them?
Let's see.
All right.
First off, we'll start with you shall not commit murder.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Beck said 100% would say that's still an important principle to live by. Survey says 94. Apparently.
There's 6% of us that are like, nah.
Well, the breakdown is 3% of people say it is not an important principle to live by, and then a few that said they didn't know.
Okay. So here's what should happen. Okay. How many said it's not?
3%.
3%. Those 3% should be on the watch list. The other percentage, what is it? The other 2%? 3%?
Yeah, 3%.
3%. The other 3%, you should just move away from.
Right.
Okay. If they don't know, I don't know. Stay away. Avoid them. Avoid them.
You shall not steal. Is that an important principle to live by still to Americans?
Yes.
You guess 100%. Survey says 94%.
94
should,
still.
So he missed again, so he should get a buzzer, not a ding.
So how many? So
you missed by 6 points
again,
on both of those.
6 point, and I mean, how many say I don't know?
4% on that one said no, and then the rest said I don't know.
That you shouldn't steal.
Yep, 4% were like, yeah, you should steal.
Okay, so we have 3% of our population mm-hmm. are murderers. Mm-hmm. 4% are thieves.
Yes.
Because at least. Those are the only ones that would say that. I mean, like, if you're not murdering people, I guess you could just be lazy morally and be like, I don't know, sure, you can murder people.
Live and let die.
Yeah.
It's a good usage of that one, actually. Okay, next one. You shall not bear false witness or tell lies about other people. Is that an important principle to
100%.
Live by? Glenn Beck guessed 90%.
90.
Survey says 91%. You're right on the mark on that one. Only missed by 1 point. So you get the point there. Honor or obey your father and mother. Okay. Glenn Beck guessed 60% believe that's still an important principle to live by. Survey says, we've given up with the sound effects, 85.
85%.
That's 85. Actually, you missed by 25 points in a good direction.
Right.
But again,
no, but I was being very pessimistic.
You were being very pessimistic. Should be higher than that. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not commit adultery. Is that an important principle to live by?
Yes.
You said 70% would say that. Actual answer, 83%. 83%. So
how's that possible?
10% say not an important principle. And then there's a few conflicted there. 9% said, I don't know. I'm not sure. You shall not covet other people's possessions. You guessed 80%. Americans actually answered 78%. Mm. So you were on the mark on that one. Good feel for the American people there. Well, we got a few more, but we'll have to get to them on the other side of the break.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see where I said 0%. How close. Back in a minute.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Hmm. So I, you know, there's a new poll out. The Ten Commandments, are they even important anymore? We found out some exciting things like, 7% of people think that murder either isn't wrong or, I don't know. I'm a little undecided on that.
Yeah, they said, dunno. They don't know. They're
well, what
sure.
if you live next to a guy who leaves his lawn clippings laying around?
Right.
Can you? I mean, you either beat him severely or you kill him, right?
Right.
I mean,
it's true. One of the two.
Yeah. I mean,
what if you've told him a bunch of times, I don't like your lawn clippings there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now,
what are you going to do?
On your
you
lawn.
Might yeah. say kill him, but I'm still, the jury's out.
Well, you got to at least break 6 or 7 of his ribs.
Right.
Don't
right.
you?
Only makes sense.
Yeah.
It only
yeah.
makes
That's
sense.
All you can do.
So let's review here real quick. These are the answers. Again, they polled the United States, you know, not Christians, just every citizen. Is it an important principle to live by that you shall not commit murder? 94% said yes, which is somewhat encouraging to me. It shows the state of affairs. You shall not steal. Also, 94% said yes. You shall not bear false witness or tell lies about other people. 91% said yes. Honor or obey your father and mother. 85% said yes.
Like 15%, don't really have to do that.
Nah. I don't know.
They don't work. They don't deserve it.
Does a school or Planned Parenthood count as a parent?
I mean, it takes a village, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, because if the school counts as a parent, then yes, definitely they should obey.
Right. You shall not commit adultery. Is that an important principle to live by to Americans? 83% say yes.
I'll bet you that 17% of Americans are having an affair.
You think that number is right around 17?
I do.
It's probably.
And you don't want to condemn yourself. You don't want to condemn yourself. And so you also don't want to say, well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you know, it depends on the circumstances. Because you're either angling for one or you're excusing
trying
yourself.
To get myself into an affair.
Yeah.
That's we're trying to get. Yeah. How do I get you into that affair today,
yeah,
sir?
Right.
Let me ask my manager. You shall not covet, desire other people's possessions. 78% say that's an important principle to live by. You guessed 80 on that one, Glenn. Very close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're on to these. These are the, and we were trying to get, Glenn was trying to get within 5 points. And so far you've hit 2 of 6, which is not terrible, actually. And no, typically you've been more pessimistic. How about this one? You shall not worship idols. You guessed 50%. Pat, you want to put a guess in on that?
Idol worship. Well, I mean, because you're not, I bet most people aren't thinking of the idols we have today. They're thinking of the graven images.
Yeah.
So I'd say it's 75.
You're right around it here. 63% said that was still. But
because that's only because they don't know that idols are like your car, your money. Job, your money, your house.
A little more expansive than the gold
statue. We are all
statue.
Into idol worship right now. Mm-hmm. All of us.
How about this one? I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God before me.
I think I said 0.
You said 0%. Pat, are you any more optimism
I'm
than 0?
I'm going to give it
65%. Good guess. 59% said that was still an important principle to live
59
by.
59 still, that's...
It's pretty low.
That's terrible.
How
terrible.
About...
Why? He's a fictitious... Now, think of that. 59%. Mm-hmm. 59%. Read the commandment again.
I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other God before me.
59% say that that is really important. Okay? in a country that is 75% Christian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shows you kind of what that means.
and what, 3% Jewish?
Yeah.
And Muslim? And I mean, there's a lot of religions here that would say, that would agree generally speaking.
No. I know that. But yeah. I'm saying that's a Judeo-Christian. Yeah. That's a Ten Commandment. Mm-hmm. So Judeo-Christians, we don't even have all of us.
Mm-hmm. That's not
amazing.
Even close.
That is amazing. Yeah. 30% of people say it's not an important principle to live by. Now, some of those would be atheists, right? So you'd expect that to be not 100%. And then 11% don't know. Okay. How about this one? You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. Glenn, you guessed 5%. Pat, any maybe a little more optimistic than that?
Can't be very high because everybody does. Not everybody, but many. Many people do.
Yes.
I'll say 52%.
52. Again, you're right in the neighborhood. 59%
okay.
Said that's important, which is surprising to me. But again, like even people who use it, right, would still, I think, I mean, you know, say it's not a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Many Christians would still do that. Yeah. We all fall down on occasion. How about this one? Remember to keep the Sabbath day holy.
I think I said zero.
You said 5% on that one. 5%.
Very optimistic. That's right, because I was counting Chick-fil-A.
Right. That is true. About 5% of this country is Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a good statistical measure there, Glenn.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I was counting on.
Pat, any guesses on that one?
Well, it's a little higher than that because, you know, you got Chick-fil-A and
Hobby Lobby.
Right.
So 8%.
53%.
Actual answer, 49%. You're good at this, Pat.
Mm. Okay, so hang on just a second. Mm. So, but, you are saying what people actually believe.
Well, yeah, but that's what we're playing here, right?
No. I'm sorry. What they actually are saying, I'm playing to what they actually believe. There is no more than 5% to 8%. Within 5 points, there's no more than 10% of this population that says every Sunday or Saturday or Friday, I'm going to keep this holy.
Well, we can't agree on what that means. What does it mean to keep the Sabbath day holy? Is it going to, you know, an NFL game? Is it going to a movie? Is it
I think
eating out? Is it what is it? Sabbath day? I mean, you shouldn't. We're told in the Bible you shouldn't work or let any of your manservants or maidservants work on that day either.
I just eliminated all manservants from my life completely to be sure.
Have you?
Yeah.
I can't do it.
Well, I give my manservants Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off.
Wow.
Just so I'm covered because I don't know.
I actually don't think that's true. I don't think you do give them the whole weekend.
We know. He's lying right on the air in the middle of a Ten Commandments survey.
He's lying. I said that lying was 100%. Oh, man. I got to tell my girlfriend. Oh, jeez.
Oh, no. By the way, interesting split between the U.S. and U.K. They polled both. And listen to these splits. Some of them are not noted. Murder, 94% U.S., 93% U.K. Again, we're told that we're horrible people here in the United States with all these violent tendencies. Apparently not as much as you'd think.
See, by the way, along those lines, London just passed New York in their murder rate.
And here we go.
Mm-hmm. I mean... The knives talk to people over there.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, the knives fly out. They should ban those knives.
Right.
Because they fly out of the kitchen cupboard and they just like
and kill
boom
people.
Right into somebody's chest.
Yeah. I hate when that happens.
Yeah.
You shall not steal. U.S. 94% say it's important. 93% in the U.K. Bear false witness is 91-87.
Okay.
All of them, by the way, the U.S. is higher, which is interesting. Honor, obey your mother and father. 85% U.S., 69% U.K.
Mm.
That's a big split.
That is the nanny state.
Yeah.
Nanny state.
Mm-hmm. You shall not commit adultery. 83% U.S., 73% U.K. You shall not covet or desire other people's possessions. 78% in the U.S. think that's an important principle to live by. 61%. In the U.K., 17% split.
We're just better than other people.
I know.
We're just better than
people. We're also more humble.
Yeah, exactly. So much better at being humble.
Yeah.
You shall not worship idols. 63% in the U.S. say that's an important principle to live by. Only 31 in the U.K. So more than double.
Wow.
In the United States. I am the Lord your God. You should
know. Wait. Do you think that's because they're thinking, like, Hey, I watched the episode with the Brady Bunch where he had the tiki idol around his, you know, he wore it as a necklace for a while, and look at the trouble it caused. Or that they know that we're worshiping idols through our cars and our jobs and our houses, and they don't care. Which is it? They're only seeing idols as the old-timey
graven image? Probably.
Maybe. It's interesting.
They're though, a lot less religious than we are.
Yeah.
You know,
it seems a lot less important.
Although
too.
We're headed that direction too, but Europe is way ahead of us in secularism, and so
it's going to work out well.
Yeah, it is working out really well.
Yeah, yeah.
Shown going in the really last well. Last few of these too. Your point, Pat. You shall have no other god before me. 59-20.
Wow.
The U.S. Believes it's an important.
Wow.
Principle. You shall not lose the Lord's name in vain. 59-23. And remember to keep the Sabbath day holy, 49-19. That's the split between on the Ten Commandments. It's a pretty interesting idea.
49 is pretty low as it is.
Yeah.
19. Now think of this.
Jeez.
This is the problem that is happening in our society. Right there, in a nutshell, is what has happened to us. We built this city on rock and roll. No, we built.
It's the first thing that jumped in my mind.
No, I know.
So bad.
We built this country, and I'm sorry, civilization, Western civilization, on those principles.
The Constitution is based on those principles.
Yeah.
So if you lose them, what happens to the Constitution? You got nothing.
You have nothing. Yeah. So the reason why the West is falling apart is because 19% say, well, you know, it's not necessary to keep the Sabbath holy. Well, now, what is the point of that? Rest one day. Rest. Even when God was creating the world 500 years ago. I hate these people who say 5,000. 500 years ago when the world was created. The story is, and he rested. You're supposed to rest. To be able to put yourself back and reorder things and make sure your priorities are right. That's just a good safety tip.
It's an amazing one, too, because usually, like, you know, the joke about the church for a long time is they're guilting you into doing X, Y, and Z, right? Like, you always feel like the Catholic guilt, or there's always guilt associated with religion. That is one that I actually feel guilty keeping. I'm terrible at that one. And the reason why is because I feel... Like if you're just resting, right? You're resting. Keeping it holy, of course, is part of it. You're going to church. You're doing things that are like that. You're spending time with your family. But like, if you don't do work on a day, I just feel like, oh, you know, I'm just being lazy. I'm just being even if I'm doing stuff with my family, if I'm doing things
that has saved my life. I think if I was in New York,
I'm working for you on Sundays. Yes, you're right. It has saved your life many times.
Me not working. I mean, I have my manservant work, but me not working on Sunday is hell.
Thanks, Pat.
Here, Pat, you want this, the poll? You going to talk about this today? Here, Pat Gray Unleashed coming up a little bit more on that particular topic, as well as many other exciting things on the Blaze Radio and TV Network.
Truly exciting.
Truly exciting.
Like game-changing, life-changing.
Well, if he was leashed, it wouldn't be.
No, but he's been unleashed. All right, I want to tell you a little bit about Simply Safe Home Security. They are prepared for anything that gets thrown at, literally gets thrown. You want somebody to throw a baseball bat at the Simply Safe Home Security system? It still works. An intruder cuts your phone line. Simply Safe is ready. It still works. They've done everything to it, and maybe it's slightly overkill. Maybe you don't need to be worried about a guy coming in with a baseball bat and trying to smash the keypad, but I'll take it. Simply Safe is ready no matter what happens. Simply Safe also could cost an arm and a leg, but it doesn't. Instead, they only charge you for what's fair. 24/7 professional security monitoring is $14.99 a month. There's no contracts. There's no hidden fees. This is a great security system, and you own it, so there's no strings attached. Simply Safe. Check it out now at simplysafebeck.com. That's simplysafebeck.com. Protect your home, protect your family with simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.
Glenn Beck.
There's a couple of stories we have to get to. One, the headline is, man with red sauce on his face charged with stealing meatballs. We'll get to that if we have time. There's also a interesting story about a lottery ticket winner who's set for life.
Washington Post headline, she bought her first lottery ticket on her 18th birthday, and now she's set for life. Don't tell her that. Listen to this, the actual details of that. First of all, she's in Canada.
Okay. Oh, my.
So, as you may know, they have some tax rates that are slightly high. So, she's 18 years old. She has a choice to win $1 million.
Not one. Yes. Million dollars. $1 million.
Now, this may not... When you're 18 years old, I'm sure you think this is true. But in reality, you get $1 million at 18 years old. You absolutely are not set for life.
No.
You've got another 70, 80 years to live on that money. Now, she can choose the alternate, which is $1,000 per week Canadian, or $773 per week for the rest of her life, if she wanted to space it out like that. Now, $773 per week now is okay, good living. Not extravagant, but a good living, right?
By the time you're 40, that's like 15 cents.
Right. You're
like, exactly. Hey, I can buy a hamburger. Thank you.
So not at all set for life. Now, let me add on top of this. She won this in Quebec. The top income tax rate in Canada, federal, is 33%. Okay. In Quebec, the territorial tax. Now, again, this will be equivalent to your state tax. Your state tax rate where she won this money is 26%.
Oh my gosh.
So she's paying basically 60% of the $1 million away immediately. So now she's 18 years old with $400,000. That's a great start. It's ahead of where most people would be, but you are absolutely not set for life.
You can pay half of your college bill.
It's amazing. I mean, that is a really... Now, in the article, they say, you know, she bought the ticket at a convenience store in Quebec, and just like that, her future was off to a very nice start. Yes! This is one of those things that media people, writers, complain about all the time, that they don't write the headlines. Like, that's a... Yes, her future is off to a very nice start with 400 grand in the bank, sure. But the idea that she is set for life at 18 with about 400 grand in the
bank.
And
if she's like most lottery winners, she'll have 400 grand spent by next Thursday.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.